Everybody ready for the word? Ready to get going? Okay, I have told you again and again that my word for the year is more. Say more. More. How many know that God has more for us? He has more for you. He wants to do more in your life. If anything, this is a DNA word for me that I believe that God has created us for more. And I'm going to be teaching the next few weeks. Pastor David might even be sharing about this. I'm giving him liberty to preach whatever God puts on his heart. I just, whenever I have a guest speaker come in, I say, hey, you know, I have a plan, but I really like to hear what God wants to do through you. So I give them a roadmap, but I let them color outside the lines if God has given them something more. But what I want to talk about today is more. God has created you for more. I shared the story a couple months ago, about at the beginning of the year, I was back in that room just getting some stuff done. And while I was there, I just kept praying, and I felt like this overwhelming desire to pray for more. I'd had a dream the night before where I was walking through the building and praying. And I remember walking through the children's area and praying for the kids and praying that God would move on our kids. How many know that God can move on kids too? In fact, a few weeks ago, I forget when it was, maybe about a month ago, that I guess over in the children's ministry, they did an altar call and the kids were coming and kids were praying for kids. And a few of them, I guess, and I'm not exaggerating, Miss Anika's here to back me up, that a few of them got up and they were having a hard time walking because God's presence was hitting them so hard. How many like that? How many like that? See, don't get me started. I believe we shouldn't be just at church to go through the motions. I believe if God is here, then we ought to encounter him. Amen? And I believe even kids can. But I was hungry that morning, and I was praying for more. And I just, it was a deep cry. God, give us more. I know there's more. I believe that there's always more to God, and not just more for us to have of him, but for us to be able to give and do. God wants to do more in us, and he wants to do more through us than we can realize. Do you believe that? Look at your neighbor and say, God wants to do more. God wants to do more. And I found myself in the preschool room on my face praying and saying, God, you've got to give me more. Got off my face, came back in, started studying. And while I was studying, I ran across a book called There Is More. And from that point on, this has been my word, believing God for more. And I want to talk about how God wants to give us more. And I believe God has already blessed us with more. You know, the word blessing, when we think about blessing, we sometimes think of, you know, God's just going to lay his hands on us and bless us. But in one sense, when my kids ask me for permission for something, I say yes. That's giving them my blessing. You understand what I'm saying? How many know that God has blessed us in heavenly places with every spiritual blessing? He has blessed us. He has said, you have my permission. All the promises of God, it says, are yes and amen in Christ. And through us, the amen is spoken to the glory of God. What does that mean? God says yes, but we say amen to his yes. So what God gives us permission for, when he wants us to have more, when we ask for more, it's his desire that we have more. God gives us more from a perspective of the unseen realm, right? He gives us more. When we ask God, we've been blessed in heavenly realms. We're spiritually blessed, but we have to partner with God on the earth by faith to receive that. We're going to see that today. When God wants to do more in us, when he wants to do more, he has to also increase our capacity to handle more. When we had one child, it was more than when we had none. One is more than none, right? I mean, you know, you have to think differently when you have a child. You used to be able to go out and do whatever you wanted to, but we used to go out and go to the movies. But when we had Lainey, you know, our going out was going to Wendy's, right? And then if we were lucky, we'd come back and she'd go to sleep for 2 hours so we could watch a movie. That was a date night, because you have to do things differently when you get more. You have to do things differently. How many know that when you have one child and there's two adults, two parents, what is that? In athletic terms, Pastor Gene, I'm calling you Pastor Gene, and Gene, in athletic terms, what that is, two on one, right? Right? When you have two children, you have now more than one, right? So you have two. What do you have? Man to man. Come on, I'm talking to people who play sports, right? When you only have one, it's 2-on-1. When you have two, it's man-to-man. When you go from 2 to 3, you have more, right? You now are no longer man-to-man. You're playing zone, baby. You're in zone. And from that point on, you're in zone the rest of your life. And you're outnumbered. You've got to play zone. And that's the way it is. What happens is when God wants to increase you, he has to also increase your capacity. He has to change the way you think, because the way you did things before has to change. God wants to give you more. When he's giving his permission for more, our response is to gravitate to growing our capacity for more. When I was first captivated with this thought of more, that God was wanting to increase us. He wants to give us more. That this next year we need to push for more. I happened to be walking one morning. I was listening to a podcast by a guy named Craig Groeschel. How many have ever heard of Craig Groeschel? He's the pastor of Life Church out in Oklahoma City. It's the largest church in America, not because of one location, but they have now 27 locations. I forget how many services a week that they provide through those 27 locations, and over 50,000 people call it their church home because of the way they do church. God's using him tremendously. He's a tremendous leader. And I was listening to him give a sermon called Increasing or Expanding Your Capacity. And in that, he was talking about increasing your capacity, expanding your capacity. He was talking about how he was on a family trip and happened to be in a pool. And as he's there, this guy, he began to strike up a conversation with for 2 or 3 minutes. And while he's just talking to him, the guy said, "I bet you couldn't hold your breath underwater for 1 minute." And, you know, that's what guys do. They dare each other. And he said, "Well, I can do that." He said, "Well, let's see you." So he went under the water, and 10 seconds goes by, and he says, "This is easy." 20 seconds goes by, and this is pretty easy. You know, 30 seconds goes by, and he's like, "You know, this is harder than I thought." And in 35 seconds, he's like starting to confess sins. 40 seconds, you know, he's rededicating his life to Christ. He's getting on. And the longer he goes, he's just realized this is going to be hard. But he reaches a minute, and he explodes through the water. He's like, "Aha! I did it! I did it! See, I told you I could do it." And the guy said, looked at him and said, "That's not too bad for the first time." He's like, "Not too bad. You know, I mean, I'm about, you know, went to heaven. How's that not too bad?" And the guy told him that I'm a consultant for CEOs, and I'm always teaching them to expand, that there's more in them than they realize. And this is one of the exercises that I do. And he says, "Now, your next time, you're not going to stay under 1 minute. You're going to stay under 2. He's like, "Next time?" He's like, I could barely do 1. He's like, "No, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to coach you. Because there's more in you than your mind comprehends." Look at your neighbor and say, "There's more in me. There's more in me than my mind comprehends." He says, "What I want you to do through this coaching is I want you to do this. Right before we start the clock, I want you to breathe deeply 4 times. Breathe in and out 4 times. And what that's going to do is it's going to expand your lungs and get it ready for you to hold your breath. The second thing I want you to do is I want you to stop moving around. I want you just to float. Be still. Don't you know, utilize all the oxygen in your body. Don't be moving around. Third thing I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes. Don't get distracted. Keep your eyes closed." He said, "And after a while, your lungs are going to contract." And he said, "When that happens, what I want you to do is breathe out a little bit of water, a little bit of air into the water. Just breathe out. What that's going to do is it's going to trick your mind into believing that you're going to take another breath. Why? Because your brain can't comprehend what your body can do. You're going to trick your mind." He said, "I want you to breathe out a little bit." And he said, "And finally, when you think you can't handle anymore, I want you to open your eyes, find something small floating in the water, some speck, some other person, and just count to 10. He said, "Okay." So he did that, breathed in 4 times, went in the water, and the guy was counting 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds. He says, 30 seconds. It was, you know, he's going on. He says, "You're at 30 seconds. You're fine. Don't come up. 40 seconds. Stay in the water. Don't give up. There's more in you than you realize. Don't give up." 50 seconds. A minute goes by. He's saying, "You've got it. Keep going." He got about a minute and a half, and he realized his lungs had collapsed, so he breathed out in the water. 2 minutes come by. He pops out of the water, and he did it. He's like, "Yes." And he actually was not under 2 minutes. He was under for 2 minutes and 45 seconds because the guy was tricking him on how long he was under. How many know there's more in you than your mind can comprehend? There's more in you than your past experience tells you there is. There's more in you than your friends believe. There's more in you than your family believes. There's more in you than you believe. How many agree with that? How many know that God wants to do exceedingly, abundantly beyond anything we ask, think, or imagine? There's more in you than you realize, and God wants to show that to you. Let's read that verse together. This is going to be our key verse for the series, Ephesians 3:20. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more," say that word with me, "immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power." To whose power? To his power. That is at work within us. "To him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." If you have your notes, pull them out and write this in. God wants to do more in you and through you than you can comprehend. God wants to do more in you and through you than God than you can comprehend. God believes in you more than you believe in you. How many would say that, you know, I'm not really extremely talented. I'm not extremely gifted. I don't have all these things in my past. I'm not extremely knowledgeable. I don't have the best education. I'm average. How many would say, boy, I most of the time I look at myself, I see myself as just an ordinary guy. I want to tell you something. That's the way I look at myself. I worry about those ones that really believe that they're just super something. You know, here's what I believe. God gets the most glory through ordinary people. God gets the most glory through people like you. You might not have all the talents in the world. You might not have all the gifts in the world. You might not have all the education in the world. But God can use you. God wants to do more in you and through you than you can comprehend. How many believe that? God has more for you. He has more in your life. And so many times we get stopped because we start seeing ourselves in a certain way. But before God can do more in us and through us, what he wants to do is he wants to increase our capacity. You can't do what you're called to do by doing what you've always done. You can't get what you want. You can't get more by doing what you've always done. If you want something different, you got to do something different. You've got to expand. If you go from one kids to two kids, you're going to do things differently. When we went from two to four, we traded in or we sold the Camry. Why? Because it's not the kids. It's what comes with the kids. Come on. You guys know what I'm talking about. It's the car seats. It's the baby bumpers. It's the, you know, We had to change things the way we did. And listen, if you are going to have more, which God has given permission for you to have, right? Let's put this in terms. What kind of more are we talking about? I'm talking about, what if God wants to use you in giving words of wisdom to your coworkers? What if God wants to use you in your prayers? I know this sounds far-fetched, but what if God wants to use your prayers to save nations? What if God wants you to develop a prayer life that you really do see the blind eyes open and the deaf ears hear? Hello? What if God has more in for you, more for you than you realize? And so many times we stop because we think, well, if God wants to give it to me, then it'll just come. But see, what God gives permission in the heavenly realm, the earth has to do something for. See, I believe God gives permission prophetically in the heavenly realms, and then prayer makes it possible in the earthly realm. Hello? And there's something that happens. This is the kind of more. God wants to do more in you and through you than you could comprehend. He wants to do more than you could ask, think, or imagine, the Bible says. That's a lot. Let's just close your eyes for a second. Close your eyes. Now, think of the greatest thing God can do in your life through you. What's the greatest thing? Maybe it's the mission field. Maybe it's at your work. You rise to the top. You become the leader. Maybe you become a business owner. Maybe God wants to use you in a powerful way. Maybe there's a dream locked up. Think about that thing and thinking of God giving you that, granting you that ability, granting you that favor. And as big as that is, he can do more. He can do more. Stretch your imagination to think what life would be like as you would handle what God had given you. And God can do more than that. He can do exceedingly abundantly more than we can even ask. In other words, there's things that God wants to do through us that we haven't even thought of yet. Is anybody else blown away by that? You realize that there's going to be things that happen to you this next year that are completely off your radar screen? There's going to be things that God does in your life this next year that you didn't even ask for. Why? Because He's working in you. He's working in you more, more, more. I want us to stretch our minds today. Stretch your heart. Stretch your faith. God wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond anything we can ask or imagine, according to my self-effort and working hard. No, according to the power that is working within us. We partner with Him. But what He does is He expands us. So here's some ways that God wants to expand our capacity. Number one, He wants to build your confidence. Build your confidence. How many have ever felt like, man, I'm just average. I don't have much. I can't do much for God. You know what God wants to do? He wants to expand. The power of God within you is going to help you expand and increase and build your confidence. That yes, God can use me. You know, the Bible says that even the mouth of babes can put to silence the enemy by their praise. Their praise. I'm only walking with God. I've only given my life to Christ 3 weeks ago. What can I do? Oh, you know what? The Bible says your praise can silence the mouth of the enemy. Wow. You know, that means God can use you no matter where you're at in your spectrum. Number two, God wants to expand your connections. He wants to expand your connections. Many times what we don't realize, listen to me on this, what we don't realize, the gift of God that will come to us will not just happen in our prayer closet. It will happen through a divine relationship. That's why we need to honor all men. That's why when we do have guest speakers come in, I always honor them, because the Bible says that he who receives a prophet receives a prophet's reward. In other words, you're looking, you're blessing, you're honoring what God has placed within them. See, every time someone new walks into our church, I want to honor them because they're coming with gifts. There's something in them that changes the atmosphere of our church. Why? Because God has worked in them. He's been putting deposits and experiences. And when they walked in the room, we just got better. And we honor all men. You know, even children have gifts to give to the atmosphere of this house. Right? So I'm honoring what they have because they carry. And there's some things, listen, if you think it's just going to be me and Jesus, we have our own thing going, me and Jesus have it all worked out. Listen, you can worship God anywhere. You can pray under a tree. You can live. You don't have to go to church to worship God. That's true. But there's some things you'll never reach your destiny apart from being in proper relationship with someone in your life in the body of Christ, because the gift of God comes through them to you. That's why it says every joint supplies. We are fitly joined together, the Bible says, every joint supplies. That means, you know, that the nourishment that this arm gets, this part of it, does not come just from my heart. It comes through this arm. If this arm is not connected here, how many know this arm is going to die? Right? So there has to be divine connections. That is for any area of your life. If you want to go to another level in your marriage, get connected to someone who's already having a good marriage and it's lasted more than 3 years. Right? If you're going to get counsel on raising kids, don't just get it from a book. Go to an old grandma that's raised 8 kids and all of them are serving Jesus and they know what they're doing. They have experience. If you're going to build a house, don't read a book. Go to someone that's building houses. Get connected. It doesn't matter whatever area. If you're selling real estate, find somebody who's doing it better than you. Get connected to them and find out. Expand your connections. Number three, improve your competence. Get better at whatever it is. Skill is what wisdom is. Wisdom is learning how to be skillful. If I want to be a good communicator, I've got to learn how to interact with people better from a stage. I've got to learn how to do intros, outros. I've got to do, you know, all the points. I've got to learn how to do that. That's a skill that's learned. Leadership is a skill. Anything that you need. Administration is a skill. All those things can be learned. And that's why the Bible says that wisdom comes to the humble, because any new skill that you want to learn always starts out with you looking a little sloppy. Come on, did you ever ride a bike and just get on and start riding? No, you ran into some trees, you skinned some knees. That rhymed. I didn't mean that. You have to be willing to look stupid before you can learn that skill. But listen, and I say this a lot, but I'd rather look stupid learning something new than be stupid. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather be a fool having to ask the questions. That's not a fool. That's a wise person asking questions. I need to ask questions to someone. I've got to improve my competence. Number four, develop your character. Develop your character. Listen, your gifts, your skill, your education can get you on the stage, but only your character will keep you there. The problem is that when we want to expand our capacity and we want God to do more through us, we love to go higher, we love to go further, but we hate to go deeper. And then when God wants to do more in you, and I made this statement in the first service, I've looked at my life and how God, whenever He gets me from level to level, whenever He's developing me, I say it this way, He's digging the well a little deeper. He's developing my character. But listen, whenever the well gets dug deeper, the water gets a little muddy. When you're getting taken to the next level, when God is developing something in you, don't be surprised if junk comes out. Don't be surprised if anger that wasn't there starts to bubble to the surface. What's happening? Your well is getting dug. Don't be surprised if sometimes discouragement comes in and things happen and you're doing things. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I'm feeling this. I can't believe I'm experiencing it. What's happening? God's developing your character. Throughout Scripture, and listen, we love in America, we love instant success. But in the Bible, and I believe the way the principle of life is, that there is no instantaneous success. The way God sees it, that He'll take Moses and put him on the backside of the desert for 40 years. To develop his character to handle the taking, you know, the Jews out of slavery. He'll take a David as a young man and say, you're going to be king. One day you're going to be king and I anoint you king. And for 13 to 16 years, some theologian can tell me, I think it's 13, it might be 16. 13 years later, he's in the backside of the desert, hiding out in caves, running from the very king. Listen, what I'm saying is, however old you are right now, don't say it. However old you are, are you willing to wait 40 years for God to see see in your lifetime what God has showed you in your heart? Are you willing to wait 13 years being despised, rejected? Are you willing to be a Joseph who, after being given a dream, he's now rejected by his brothers and his father? He can't see his father anymore. He's sold as a slave. Now he's a prisoner. What I'm saying is, we love to think about what God wants to do with us, and we should believe in that. We should be pursuing more. But don't be surprised that he develops your character in the secret place. The secret place is not just your closet. Your secret place is when you're living out your destiny and it's not being fulfilled in the way that you know it's supposed to be. How many have ever been there? You know, listen, as a mom that wants to have kids, that she has a womb within her desiring to have kids, but somehow can't have kids. And this is my, you know, this was not said in the first service. This is my understanding as I've looked at Scripture. For every woman in the Bible that was ever desiring to have kids that could not have kids, They all felt ashamed. They all felt like there was something wrong with them because in that day there was something that they were either in sin, someone else had sinned. That's what the view was. But what I see in every passage that I read of someone who was not able to have kids, every one of those women had a child supernaturally past their due date, past their age of bearing children. Why? Because God wanted to do something special. What if God wants to do something so special in your life and that's why you're staying hidden? Hello? What if there's more locked up on the inside of you? And the answer is not letting go of the dream. The answer is letting God develop your character. Develop the times when no one else is around. Thank God. Thank God He develops us in secret. Because if He were to pull us out before we were ready, we would make Him and everybody else look bad. Amen? Well, God, I'm believing you for whatever it is that you're believing, God. Well, then don't be surprised if he hides you in the quiver and polishes you up in the quiver. But the time will come when He'll take you out and He'll shoot you and you'll hit the mark that God called you to hit. But in the meantime, be thankful for the quiver too. Come on, let's not be anxious to get out from under God's cover until it's time. Amen? Okay, so we're going to build our confidence, expand our connections, improve our competence, develop our character. And the fifth one is increase your commitment. Increase your commitment. What does that mean? That means this, that if you want what you've never had, you've got to be willing to do what you've never done. You have to be willing to be committed to that process. That means that you're there, come rain or shine. When I want to get in shape, right? How many have ever tried to get in shape? And you start running, the first day feels good. This is easy. Second day, you're a little sore, but that's not bad. Third day, man, that hill's a little steeper this time. Fourth day, it's raining outside. That bed is calling me. Sister Sheets and Pastor Pillow are calling my name. But when you're tired, sick and tired of always being tired, and you know you have got to get in shape, then that rain is actually an opportunity to increase and improve your commitment. Now everything that comes against you becomes an opportunity to expand and build and make sure that you have increased your commitment. And that's what we need to be. See, that means if you're tired of being in debt, you don't just go to FPU. You have Dave Ramsey tattooed on your arm. Right? You're wanting to grow in your faith. You're not just coming on to church when you feel like it. You come when you don't feel like it. You're not just making it happen. Hey, you're in one life group. You're in two life groups. You're committed. If you want to change your marriage, you want to improve your marriage, you're not just, you know, reading a couple books, listening to a couple cassettes. You're going to every conference you can. You're sitting at the front row. You're praying. You're fasting. There, I just said it. Fasting. You're finding ways. You're not just, I hope this happens. No, you're committed. I will find a way. Remember, how many have ever tried to change a tire? How many guys do I know that ever have a problem getting a lug nut off? You know, my dad taught me you don't give up on the lug nut. You find a longer lever. You increase your commitment. You don't stop. Oh, I can't do it. No, you find another way. You are committed. What I'm trying to tell you, if you want to reach your destiny, it's not going to just happen. I really wish. No, you're not ready yet. You're going to say, I'm going to find it. I'm going to reach it. I don't care who I have to get around. I don't care how many questions I have to ask. I don't care how long God has to take to develop my character. I am going to reach my destiny, period. So here's what I want to ask you. I'm going to focus on one of these topics, Lord willing. Focus on this today. I want to focus on building your character. When I was growing up, I had a great home life. My parents are tremendous parents. If I can be half of what they were and are, I'll be doing fine. But there was a church culture. Say church culture. And the church culture was this, that I really had to break off of me. And this was the church culture that I was raised in. You better make sure it's God before you attempt anything, right? Just make sure you've heard from God. The only problem with that is the more I've walked with God, rarely, rarely do I know 100% that God has spoken to me. I don't know if I've ever had that. I mean, when I'm coming to decisions, most of the time I have to make decisions based on what I think God is saying to me at about a 60 to 40% chance. Does that make sense? So I have to make a decision, and I have about a 60% sense that this is God, right? And I have a 40% chance that it might not be God. And I've learned that the hardest decisions are not when between bad and good. The hardest decisions are between good and best, right? And it's usually those ones that God wants to give us discernment. But I've had to learn to make decisions and recognize that in making that risky decision, that risky decision comes with risk that I could be wrong. Hello? But in the culture that I was raised in the church sense, when it comes to things like this, you had to be sure that it was God. The problem with that is we never tried anything. We never attempted anything more because we wanted to make sure we were hearing from God. We were proud of our humility. That was a joke. It's like a baseball player standing at bat who said, I don't want to strike out, so I'm not going to swing. You might get on base from time to time, but now you're leaving the control to the pitcher. The problem is that, especially baseball, it's the one sport that you could strike out 7 out of 10 times and still be at the Hall of Fame. What I'm saying is I had to break a mentality that was, you better know it's God. Or don't try. I had to break a mentality in me that it was okay to make mistakes. In fact, 1 year of my life, and you want to say, well, how did you hear that from God about this? I was reading a John Maxwell book. The illustration I just gave about swinging a bat came from him. And when I read that, that's why we need to expand our competence. That's why we need to read. When I read that, I realized, God, that's me. I'm never swinging the bat because I'm afraid that I might miss. But the truth is, if you never swing and miss, you'll never swing and hit. You've got to swing the bat. I made up my mind that year that I was going to make as many mistakes as I possibly could. You say, well, that's not good. Yes, it was. It was good for me. I started taking risks that I would not have taken in the past. I started saying yes to more things because before I just didn't want to miss it. But you know what? I missed it sometimes, but I also hit it. I started prophesying more to people that I wouldn't have before because I was afraid of missing it. But I found so oftentimes that as I would prophesy, they would start weeping and they'd say, oh, you don't know, that's exactly. And I'm thinking, well, I just had I had a 51% chance that that was God. Right? It was close, real close. And I'm saying, yeah, praise God. I'm thinking, dear God, I was right. What do you know? But if you're not ever willing to miss it, you'll never hit it. And so what did I have to do? I had to build my confidence. You know what I love about what the Lord is that he shows us principles in his word. That if we understand, we really try to see it from this lens, we begin to see how God teaches us. He told Joshua this, which I stand on this all the time. He said, "Where I'm giving you this land, anywhere you set your feet, I've given it to you." You know what that means to me? That if he goes right, God's coming with me. If I go left, God's coming with me. Sometimes I wonder that the prophecies I've given people are God just saying, yeah, whatever he said. What can you imagine what you would attempt if you actually believe God was with you and for you? If you actually believe that God says, I'll go with you. Now listen, he'll go with you, but he will not go for you. You still have to take steps of faith. You still have to build up your confidence. Do you got confidence? That's what I want to ask. Confidence. It's bad English, but it's good preaching. Do you got confidence? Do you have confidence? Number one, are you speaking the language of the lid? First thing that needs to change when you change your confidence is you need to change what you're saying about yourself. Right? I'm going to skip through the passage that we're going to read right now because it's very familiar. It's from Numbers 13. If you're taking notes, you want to go back and read it. Numbers chapter 13. It's right around verses 26, 28. You can read the whole chapter of 13. I'm going to summarize it for sake of time. God told Moses, send 12 spies to go seek out the land. Go look at the land. What was he saying? If we're going to look at it from a spiritual sense, he says, I want you to go start to develop your vision. I want you to develop your dream. I want you to see what I've called you to. Right? Pay attention to your dreams and your desires. I'm not saying you just do everything, but I'm telling you, if you're submitted to God, he's put in a dream within you. It's his DNA. He's a creator. He loves to put dreams within people. Okay? There's a dream on the inside of you. You begin to develop that. You go spy out the land. I believe many Christians are literally discouraged, depressed, because they're only in survival mode. Hello? They just want to survive. God didn't put you on the planet to survive. He put you on this planet so that you can reach your destiny. He's put a dream on the inside of you. And whatever you're doing, whatever gifts God's put in your hands, he wants to expand it. But when doing that, what he says, I want you to develop your dream. I want you to go out and look at the land. And so what did they do? They went and they looked, right? And you know the story. How many know this story? Raise your hand if you've heard this story. Okay, it's old school. But if you haven't heard the story, go read it. So they go, they send 12 spies over there. They look at the land that God says, I'm giving you, I'm giving you, I've given you my permission, I'm giving you my blessing, I'm sending you there. But here's the thing, you're going to go look at your dream, but what you're going to see is that that it's a good dream, but there's giants in the land. So they come back, they give a report to Moses and to all the people, and this is the report. The land that we went into is awesome, it's great, it's amazing. You should see all this stuff. But nevertheless, and I love that word, nevertheless, that's just some words just sound like nevertheless. Nevertheless, there's giants there. And you know the story. 10 spies said, we're not able to do this. 2 said, we are well able to do this. Here's my question. What are you saying? What are you saying? It's not what has God said. He's already said. It's what are you saying? Not what does the enemy say, not what does your uncle say, not what does your dad say, not what your... Listen, I sat across from a young man this week whose parents are Christians. He's seeking God and God's will for his life. And I sat around him, I said, listen, you want to honor your parents. You want to always honor your parents, but they didn't die for you. they created a foundation for you, but listen, you're going to have to spread your wings. They can't spread the wings for you. You're going to have to honor them, but there's coming a day where your mama wants you to go left, but God's wanting you to go right. You're going to have to decide who you're going to follow, because Jesus said, if you love father or mother more than me, you're not worthy to be my disciple. And here's the thing. So we have to make decisions. Are we gonna follow God? It's not what does someone else say about you, it's what does God say? But listen, what God says has to be echoed by what you say. Because if what you're saying is opposite of what God's saying, then you're gonna have what you say. That's exactly what happened to these people. Right? So these 10 guys began to spread, it says, a negative report among the people. And it says, we saw the giants there, and we were as grasshoppers in our own sights, and we were the same in their sight. Listen, this is what it says. Essentially, they were defeated by grasshoppers, not by giants. My question is, do you have enough confidence that even if you feel like a grasshopper, you can say, but God is with me, and I'm well able to take the land? What are you saying? Are you speaking the language of the lid, or are you giving God permission? Let's go on. Number two, whose voice are you listening to? Whose voice are you listening to? There will always be more voices, according to Scripture, there will always be more voices saying that you can't than the ones that say that you can. About that ratio, 10 to 2. The enemy's voice is loud, negative, and accusing. God's voice is soft. It's a whisper. You have to wait to hear it. You have to incline your ear, the Bible says, to hear it. But his voice will be soft, but it'll say, you can do it. I'm with you. I'm for you. But God, what if I make a mistake? I'm still for you. God can take, what's that scripture? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And it says, and I will make your paths straight. How many know that God can take even your crooked places and make them straight? I believe with all my heart, God wants us to walk as people who are taking risks to follow God. You know that young man I was talking to? This is what I asked him. I said, okay, of the two choices that you have, which one is going to require more faith? And he knew immediately. I said, which one is going to cause you to be on your face because you know if God doesn't come through? Now, here's what I told him this. When you make that decision, you cut the purse strings. You're not calling your parents for money. You're not asking for money. You're not calling, hey, can you help me with this? No, because if you're going to step out in faith, especially if it's against what your parents think you ought to do, if you're going to step out in faith, you're going to have to depend on God. That means you might have to fast. That means you might have to get 2 jobs, maybe 3 jobs, but you will support yourself if you choose that. Well, what I'm saying is, what are you going to do? If you're going to choose these kind of decisions between risk and safety, which one, if you're trying to figure out which one is God, which one's going to require you to fast more, pray more, seek God more? If that's the one, then choose that one. Choose that. Put yourself in a position that I'm going to have to seek God. Because you weren't made to live in the boat. You were made to walk on the water. Whose voice are you listening to? Whose voice are you listening to? Number three, not only do you have to build confidence, you have to maintain confidence. You have to maintain confidence because the greatest test of faith is time. The greatest test of faith is knowing, hey, you know what? God has promised me this. God has said to me, God has given Kimberly and I promises. These are some of the promises that I stand on, that we pray for. He promised us in June 2010. He usually speaks to Kimberly because she's more spiritual, and then I just tag along. He speaks to Kimberly on the beach, 2010, if you'll give your life for my kids, I'll be the God of yours. How many know, as a pastor, that's a great concern for us. We don't want our kids to walk away from God because they see the mess sometimes. Hello? Because church can be messy. We want God to be the God of our kids. That's a promise. God spoke to me many promises through the time. All these promises are yes and amen. Listen, this is a treasure trove of yeses. It's a treasure trove of yeses. Shame on us if we're not opening it, finding out what promise fits my need. What promise has God said yes to me that I need to say amen to for the glory of God? You must maintain your confidence. But when God promises you something, don't think that it's just going to happen. What if God promises you're going to be a deliverer, but for 40 years you're a sheep herder out in the backside of the desert? Can you maintain your confidence? Can you maintain that you have been called to be king when you're just a shepherd boy in the backside of the desert, building a dust cloud every time you worship? Hello? That's what I'm talking about. You have to maintain your confidence. And I want to read this passage. We'll close. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, and if you read the book of Hebrews, it's all written to people who have lost confidence because bad things were happening after they gave their life to Christ. And this is what he says. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Faith and perseverance go hand in hand. Don't only build confidence, maintain confidence. Will you stand? I want to close with this passage because to me, this is capturing what I feel in my heart for this series. Caleb was one of the two spies that went and saw what God had promised. He went and built and saw the vision. But for 40 years, it says for 45 years, he was not able to go into the land that he had seen. For 45 years, because those people who listened to the negative report began to speak the negative report, God said, I'll give you the very thing that you said. You will not see the land, but your kids will. But here's what I love about Caleb. Go ahead and play for me, Greg. For 45 years, he walked in a season where those around him could not see what he saw. For 45 years, he lived with a people whose voices echoed those 10 spies. He lived with people who murmured and complained. And what has God brought us out here to die? For 45 years, he maintained a spirit of confidence so that when they finally went over, listen, not only did he maintain it, I believe he raised up another generation. 45 years, that old generation died, but a new generation was raised up who sat around the campfire listening to stories from Joshua and Caleb talking about how good the land was, how God had delivered them from Egypt, how God had brought them through the Red Sea. They listened to those stories, and that with the fire in their eyes, they were speaking what they saw was coming. They saw more than Egypt. They saw more than the same mountain they kept passing 40 years in a row, every year around the same mountain, but they kept inside of them this desire for more. They knew more. Now listen to this man who's 85 years old. If we can have that last scripture. He's speaking now to Joshua, the one guy that believed with him. Joshua and Caleb are talking, and Caleb is speaking to Joshua. He says, now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, why Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am, this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. And this is what I love. He says, now therefore, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Something within him was saying, I know it's mine. For 45 years, he walked around the same place. 45 years, God was developing character. How many nights did he go to bed saying, am I ever going to see it? How many voices did he hear? Oh, that was just, God was just teasing you. I want to tell you something. If God promised you something, if he said yes, if he's blessed you with something, he's not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of a man that he should repent. If he promised it, he will perform it. If he said it, he will bring it to pass. How many say, I want more from what God wants? I want to see God do more in me and through me this next year. I want God to do more in me. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you will, just raise your hands. Raise both hands and say, God, do more in me. Do more in me. Do more through me than I can ask, think of, or imagine. God, I ask you to give you permission to use me like I never thought I could ever be used. God, I pray that you begin to awaken me with dreams and visions. God, put within my heart. I believe this church, listen to me. I know the call on our life. I believe this church is going to raise up senators. I believe it's not just going to be missionaries. It's going to be missionaries that are going to be doctors. They're going to be missionaries that are lawyers. They're going to be missionaries. Dear God, we need some missionary lawyers. We need some missionary plumbers. We need some missionary teachers. We need some missionary professors. We need some missionary entrepreneurs. God has something for you. Your name is on a dream inside of you, and God's going to awaken it up. But you've got to say yes to His yes. You've got to say yes, Lord. Lord, use me, take me. God, build my commitment level. God's saying yes. And I want to say, and this is what I feel like God wants to say. For those of you who've had a dream, that dream has started to die. In Jesus' name, I want you to hope again. I want you to believe again. I want you to say, God, it's mine. I don't care how many times I've walked around the mountain. I'm not going to throw away my confidence that you are able, and I am well able because you are with me. Father, we surrender again our dreams to you, our visions to you. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, you've walked away from God, listen, this is your day. This is your day. God wants to step into the resources and the recesses of your mind and your heart and begin to change you from the inside. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand, raise it high. Don't be ashamed. Anyone here? One hand, two hands. I see you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Those that raise their hand, I want to meet with you afterward. The rest of you, can I bless you? Can I bless you? Listen to me. If you're going to walk by faith, it's normal. It is normal that your flesh will buck it. But you were created, and I said that earlier, you were created to walk on water. Take responsibility for your confidence. You're looking at a man that was so backward and so ashamed. So, I didn't want to be in front of people. My dad would ask me to give a testimony after youth camp. I would cry every time. I was like, I'd be back there saying, God, don't let him call on me. Because I look like an idiot every time I grab the microphone. I just got snot. I didn't know that God will take you regardless of your personality. And He'll use you for His glory. His glory. Not many wise, not many noble. Right? The things that are not are going to confound the things that are. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bless you to have your shoulders back, your head held high. May you never back up, sit down, shut up, believing what God has said. May you stop speaking curses over yourself and your destiny. May you stop cursing your gifts that God has placed within you. Thank God for what He's put within you. Ask God to take you to another level. Ask God to expand your capacity. Go in God's grace. Tell somebody about Jesus, and we love you. God bless.